Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. If you live in Fairhaven, it's election day. Go vote. However you want to vote. You got a number of things to vote from. Four, you've got a competitive election for the select board. I believe planning board is competitive. And there's a proposition 2.5 override. It's not a debt exclusion. It's to forever raise the levy limit. So look into that. Make a decision based upon what you can afford, what you want to do, the future of the town, all of that stuff. That's a personal vote. You've got a number of candidates to choose from. Most of them have really good social media. So if you got any questions, you can probably get them answered by social media. And I believe most of them are standing at the polls right now. So you could just mosey up to them and ask them a question, right? 508-996-0500. I understand the turnout is really strong in Fairhaven, which is a good sign. Sign of healthy democracy, okay? To have a good voter turnout. So we'll see at the end of the day. I think you can vote up until 8 o'clock. If you're in line by 8 o'clock, they will let you vote. So don't leave it till 8 o'clock, but, you know, get over there as soon as you're physically able. All right. Good luck to all the candidates, though. We got a lot of good people running, regardless of their individual disagreements on issues. So we're lucky here in Fairhaven. 508-996-0500. As I pointed out earlier, Sean Oliver and his running mate, Brian Schultz, Brian Schultz, even his running mate, Sean Oliver, are having a rally tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. in Fairhaven at Traveler's Ale House on Huddleston Avenue, 6 to 8 o'clock. I would get there early because Sean and Brian have a lot of local support. Republicans, independents, and Democrats are all welcome. So head on over there. I think it should be a fun night. And get out of the house, go do something, right? See neighbors and see old friends, make some new friends. Get out of the house. That's what is great about politics, the social aspect, not the arguing about who's right, who's wrong. Just getting out there and meeting other people. And you've got a nice opportunity tonight to meet Brian Shortsleeve, Sean Oliver, if you've never met him before. They're both really dynamite guys. So check it out. Open phones. If something's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
What's happening?
My prediction is that Fairhaven will vote down the debt exclusion there or the raising taxes. That's my prediction about Fairhaven.
I would tend to agree with you, particularly because we were asked, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, to do it, and they voted it down overwhelmingly. So I don't see it. But maybe. Who knows?
Well, that Rich Trefello guy, he's a Johnny-come-lately there, but he seems like a candidate I would vote for if I were living in Fairhaven, because he wants to, you know, he wants to keep your taxes down, and he's against that. So I think he'd win. But I'd want to get back to New Bedford a little bit.
Yeah,
you put some things in about the other day about Marty Tredup leaving.
Yes.
The assessor's office. So what have you heard about who are the potential successors to Mr. Tredup, who's a nice guy?
He's a very nice guy and did a nice job as the assessor.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So what am I hearing? Well, so I talked with Ryan Pereira, mm-hmm. and he told me that they're going to do an application process. Then mm-hmm. when they have all the people who are interested, then they'll begin to do that. They'll begin to make nominations. So it's a vote of the city council. Unlike the school committee, the other assessors do not have a vote in this. Remember when we did the school committee?
Mm-hmm.
You had the school committee could vote plus the city council plus the mayor. So I guess the mayor is the chairman of the school committee. That's how he got his vote. But the mayor doesn't have a vote in the filling of the assessor, and neither do the other assessors.
They're going to try to fill him before the election is what you're telling me then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they would probably just let it go to the election and Marty would finish up. He's out as right of now, then he's not.
He's out, yeah.
Wow. Gee, I feel bad about that because I kind of questioned him on, I think it was Tim's show, about the possibility of getting a income tax break for seniors, and I had some research done on it by a friend of mine, and I went to all the other things that you could research and everything, and all the other abatements you have that they don't really talk too much about. And I felt I kind of grilled him in a sense, and he was very kind about it and very nice, answered my questions. So I hope I didn't motivate him to leave, you know?
I doubt it, Bob. Okay. But maybe. I mean, yeah. Certainly.
Well, he's a little older than me. I remember when I was playing basketball at Ashley Park, he used to pull up with his car. I used to hate to see him come because I was a young guy. I wasn't a very good basketball player, but I tried to occupy my time. And he'd get out of the car, and he was pretty good. And that usually meant I wouldn't get picked for the game. So I think he's a little older than me, but he was always a gentleman and a good guy. That's sad to see. But what do you hear?
All right, what am I hearing? All right,
people.
So
yeah.
What I'm hearing is Sean Carney, who's a lawyer and a local musician, is also the son of City Councilor Naomi
mm-hmm.
Carney.
Mm-hmm.
He's interested. Mm-hmm. In the job.
Okay.
I would think, I know, that puts his mother in a very awkward position because she cannot vote for her son.
Yes, she'd have to.
But, however, yeah. And I'm not sure whether this has been observed or not, mm-hmm. she also cannot lobby her colleagues to vote for okay. a family member to mm-hmm. take a paid position mm-hmm. that they can vote for, right? Mm-hmm. So not only can she not vote for her son, she also cannot talk about it with her colleagues one way or the other because mm-hmm. she has a direct conflict with it being okay. her son.
Okay.
So he's one of the people, and that makes it a complicated issue because okay. if, for instance, anybody on the city council has spoken with Naomi about it, mm-hmm. that's all really polluted ground, right? Mm-hmm. Because and it would seem innocent enough, right? Hey, it's a mom wanting to help her son, but mm-hmm. under the law, you can't do that.
Yeah, okay.
And so there's one name, okay? Sean Carney.
All right.
Good guy, all that. Okay. Lawyer. Now, okay. the other name I'm hearing about is Linda Morad.
Oh.
Yeah, that some people want Linda Morad to join the Board of Assessors, or that mm-hmm. she wants to join. We'll see whether she wants to or not, because part of the process, you got to send a letter or application type thing.
Yeah.
You got to indicate publicly that you're interested.
Yes, yes.
So Linda has to indicate that, and I've heard that she maybe has, or maybe other people on the council are mm-hmm. saying, hey, that'd be a good spot for Linda. She knows what she's doing type of thing.
Yeah.
So, but maybe, how do people react to that? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sorry not to see her in the city council when they're working on the budget, because not to knock any of the other city councilors, mm-hmm. but watching in the past, she seemed to be the most knowledgeable about the budget, you know. And even though people may have had other disagreements with her or her with other people, she was very good at that. And not having her there, I think, doesn't help them trying to do whatever they can do with the budget. So Morad and Connie, who else? Anybody else?
There's other names circulating around, but I don't feel confident putting their names out there right now because you don't know what is just a rumor, mm-hmm. what's just somebody putting their toe in the water, sampling, see like that. But I would think there'll be a lot of people who apply for this job. It's very rare that you can become an assessor without having to stand for election.
Is Marty Tredup's position due to run out for this election and then we'd have an election, or does it go beyond the election?
It's a 6-year term. So yeah. I'm not sure how many years he has left on the term. If somebody knows, they certainly can chime in. But
so
I don't know. But it's a 6-year term, though.
Okay, so the appointment it would be temporary and finish out whatever he's got left on a 6-year term,
yes.
and it wouldn't be on the ballot?
Right.
Oh, boy, that's a good chance for a person to get in under those circumstances right now.
Yes.
You know, so that was interesting news, though. I just hope I didn't motivate him to leave because I think he's a bit older than me, and I'm up there myself, so that sort of thing. The other thing I want to bring up to you is back to Fairhaven. I don't know if you caught it, and I don't know if it's true, okay, but I think it's the old rectory to St. Joseph's Church is going to be used to help rehabilitate, according to the Internet, law enforcement officers who have problems, you know, PTSD or whatever like that. Have you heard anything on that?
So I've heard something about it. That's the Adams Street property, right?
Oh, yes, I believe so. I believe it's Adams Street. But again, is that just a cover? You know what I mean, don't you? So goes New Bedford, so goes Fairhaven.
I don't know.
You're going to be on this, McCarthy. You're going to be on
it. Absolutely. I'll look into it. I will, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. I did hear something about that. That's a beautiful piece of property that's right over there on Adams Street. Absolutely beautiful. Big too. In fact, I can remember years ago when I'd be leaving to go to work the night shift, I'd be going up Christian Street and to take a left onto Adams. And oftentimes, more often than I care to think about, I'd see coyotes. I'd hit them with the headlights, right? And they'd jump over that stone wall right there because they lived out in the back. And there's a lot of land out there. So I would call Natalie and say, make sure Milo is in the house. There's coyotes out there running around looking for something to eat. And Milo was the perfect kind of meal for a coyote. I hate to say it, but it really was true. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Let's go right back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Sorry, call Natalie.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. What's going on, Carlos?
That's the most beautiful day out.
Yes.
As you know, I love political talk. I've been hearing some stuff myself. And it's usually always the political insiders that they get the edge. And I'd like to see an outsider come in with that position, to be honest with you. I don't want to see a Beauregard or a Morad. You know, didn't we just get rid of her? It's like her way of thinking and the way she abused people. Do we really want her in a position of power again? I don't. Nothing personal. It's just her style. I don't agree with it.
Carlos, and what are you hearing that some of the city councilors are saying, well, if we give her a position, she won't want to run against me?
Oh, that's all. If they're actually saying that, I mean, that's pathetic. That's the individual. I mean, she has no chance.
You don't think? Well, I don't know. You don't think she could run for at large and get in?
No, she's done. She's fried. But no way.
What if she ran against Leo?
No way. Her lack of involvement in that ward, not just recent, for years now, speaks volumes. I don't think they want someone like her. And Leo's been doing an excellent job. He's a hard worker. He sticks his neck out all the time. He gets beat up all the time out there for doing the right thing.
Yes.
So he's doing his job. I think he's doing an excellent job, actually. And I personally haven't heard a complaint about Leo.
No, neither have I. No, I'm just saying that because she lives in Ward 1, was the Ward 1 counselor. Doesn't like Leo. Because Leo blew up her pay scheme they had, yeah.
Yeah, which was a huge benefit to the city, I think, because it uncovered something that needs to be fixed. And we're still working on that. I know some counselors still haven't paid their responsibility back, and I hope they do eventually, because to me, it shows neglect for the rule of the law. Hey, we all make mistakes, and you know, sometimes you're going to pay the piper. And it's time for people to pay the piper. Gomes or whoever owes the money, they need to pay. But when it comes to this, the assessor's office, right?
Yes.
Why would someone, you know, that's connected politically want that role? It just, I don't know, suspect to me. I mean, I guess you can say they have experience or the know-how, stuff like that. But I don't know. In this instance, I'd like to see an outsider. Obviously, someone knows the role. But the individuals that people are mentioning now, I have no faith or confidence in at all. I don't trust him. I'm sorry.
Thanks for the call, Carlos. I do appreciate it. Yeah, I get what he's saying, but if you need somebody, and that's an important job, the assessor, you need somebody that understands government procedures, how boards work, what they can do, what they cannot do. I mean, the worst thing, I've seen people run for assessor in the past saying all kinds of crazy things that people hear and like, but they don't have the power to do it. So you can't just appoint somebody who has no government experience whatsoever and hope they can hit the ground running in a job like that. I mean, I know everybody likes to hear about the outsider and an outsider and a brand new person, but if they've never been in government, have no idea the role, the job, the limits of what a government official can do, sometimes it's a real recipe for disaster. And by then, you've appointed him to the remainder of a 6-year term, so there's nothing you can do about it. And you're going to own that vote, city council, forever. You're going to own that vote. 508-996-0500. There's other people on hold, but I got it. It'll be a quick one, but I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get 2 hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Absolutely beautiful day out there. If you live in Fairhaven, go vote. You got till 8 p.m. to go vote. By the way, they're going to be voting on the 20th. Up or down for a new Old Colony vocational school. That'll be the towns of Acushnet, Lakeville, Rochester, Mattapoisett, and Carver. Those towns will have a decision to make on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, all the way through to the evening. Saturday, you'll be voting up or down for a Proposition 2.5 debt exclusion to build a new vocational school. So it's a redo because you voted it down last time. They're bringing it up again. So think about that. That'll be Saturday on the 20th of this month. So keep that in mind. 508-996-0500. Back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, not much, Chris. I just want to touch upon the governor's race. We spoke like last Friday, and they heard your comments at the end about the press. What I was stating about the press was, and it's through the governor's race, and it's very important. Commercials do nothing. Commercials, what they have to do, and this is what I want to say about the campaign people that they hire, is that you have across the Commonwealth right now in towns and cities, all of these local towns and cities are having budget crisis. Mm-hmm. Tell me why they don't look at the dates that they're doing the crisis and go there and sit there and listen to the budget. Say, I'm here. I'm trying to pay attention because the governor's not paying attention. That's how you make the news. They're not making the news in that way. If they went across the cities, like kind of like a couple years ago, I can't remember his name. The last Republican that we had that was a senator that he got on the pickup truck and went all across the state. It was like
Scott
a gimmick.
Brown.
He went to every. Scott Brown, and he had that plaid shirt, and he went in the truck, and he went all across the state to all the communities and talked to people. They should be doing that and notifying the media. We're going to be at the town, at this town, listen to their budget crisis, listen to what's causing it, and sit there and be there in the audience, listen to all the counselors and the selectmen going through this crisis that Maura Healey has caused. Okay, and every day battering that. And that way the news has to have some kind of segment. Rallies mean nothing. Rallies are 2 seconds of the news. That's it. You need stories of how Maura Healey is impacting everyone in this community. Everyone in our state's being impacted by her. But this is what concerns me the most. Let's say they don't win, which I'm trying to be optimistic, but she's halfway there already. Yep. Okay, because your Boston Globe story just reported it. What they're reporting is, they're arguing like with each other. They're not reporting how bad she is.
Right.
And that's buying her more time. So this is great for her. This is great for her. What concerns me is this, that we're on the roll like California. It's going to be a matter of time. They tried it one time, and they're going to try it again, ranked choice voting. They're going to push that down our throats. And the next thing is they won't purge the the voter rolls. Okay, they send ballots out to everybody if you ask for it or not. You know, in California, you know how you prove that you could be voting? Same day, you could show a gym membership. You don't even need your social security number. Okay, and I heard a high-ranking Republican who's in the California community, and he's a property owner, and what other property owners, and he was saying, listen, we know what's going on. They send ballots to everyone. They have people harvesting these ballots. They go to all these apartment complexes. And you know how there's little boxes, and the mailman will leave it on the top? They go around, and they just grab them all. So who's to say it's not rigged? And this is going to, and this is what I'm concerned of. Every 4 years, every 2 years that Republicans lose, they're going to shove down ranked choicing down our throats. Okay, they're already rigging it because they refuse to purge the voter rolls. Chris, you know that they say, oh, it's not rigged. Okay, how about we purge it? How about if we have an ID for everybody that votes? Better yet, if you want a mail-in ballot, you need to have a reason. Either when you're in a nursing home or like you're sick or you came in, and need to be notarized and sent to you. That's how we know for sure you are you. So what happened in California, I believe, all of the ballot harvesters that went around and collected them all, they held on to it. Oh, she's trailing. Because what they did, and he made up such a good point, Chris, that Trump's just gets mad, but doesn't give the details. He goes, basically, that socialist is kind of like a plant. Get someone more radical than the actual Democratic mayor, more radical, to take some votes away from him. And then when it was close, sure enough, here comes all the ballots that they had ready to go. They did it legally. It's right. Legal, right? Because they it's legal, but it's cheating in a way because they're gaming the system. And I'm concerned they're going to game the system here. Because once you have ranked choice voting, it's done. It's done, Chris. And you know that. And you know that very well. Can no one until someone tells me we're going to purge the voter rolls, we're going to have ID, people have to go vote. Do you want to do early voting? I'm fine with that. 2 weeks, whatever. If you want to do that, but you have to go and vote. At the local library, at the town hall, you go vote physically. And if you can't, you need a reason. It needs to be notarized. That's how you could prove to me that this is up, this is like legit. Because right now, Chris, it's not legit. It's not legit. And it's going to happen in our state, Chris. So the best chance they have is the candidates. They need to make news. They need to be at these towns. At the budget crisis that's happening all across our Commonwealth, they need to be sitting there at the town halls, at the city halls, saying, I'm with you, I'm listening, and then call the news. I'm here. Where's Healy? She caused this problem. Where is she? Keep on doing that. That's the way people, it's going to resonate with people. Going to rallies are great. Rah, rah, hoo, hoo. You're preaching to the choir. You need to go out to these communities that don't really pay attention, that are paying attention now because their schools are being cut, their school budgets, their trash is being affected, their property tax are being affected, Chris. That's how you're going to have a chance to win, because if it don't do it that way, I don't see it, because she's halfway. I think she's seeing the finish line already in like a distance.
Well, it's going to be tough to overcome. Any incumbent has a natural advantage, but particularly a Democrat incumbent here in purple Massachusetts.
It could be done, Chris.
It can be done.
I don't understand. They pay all these campaign people, all these advisors. Here I am, here you are. Common sense. Rallies don't cut it, okay? You need to be in the thick of things. You need to make news. You can say what you want about Trump. Bad news or good news, he's in the news. He controls the narrative. The Republicans and the candidates have to control the narrative, but they're going to lose the narrative because they're fighting like with each other, because neither of them, I'm sorry, they could be both nice guys, neither of them could swallow the ego and says, who has the best shot here? No, they can't swallow the ego. They can't do that. Oh, God forbid. Okay. But come September, we'll get 1 month. So the Commonwealth, with the way people are, in 1 month, you're going to turn it around and everybody's going to vote for you. And I got a bridge to sell you in Fairhaven.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for the contribution to the program. I do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. So my feeling on this, for whatever it's worth, is that primaries are good for the party that is having the primary. And in this case, the Republicans. I think the more that Brian Shortsleeve and Mike Minogue are talking about their campaigns and trying to get people to the polls in September for the primary. Remember, if you show up in a primary election, you're more likely to show up again in November, right? Even if your candidate doesn't make it. I know there's a theory out there that primaries hurt because the team that lost doesn't go back to the polls. I don't see it that way. In my experience, if you're voting in the primary election, if it's a city election, you're then going to show up in November. So provided the contest doesn't become so nasty that people are totally turned off to that party, which could happen, but I think so far what I'm seeing is a high-level conversation between Brian Shortsleeve and Mike Minogue. Well, I shouldn't even say it's a conversation. Both campaigns are speaking to us about what they'd like us to do in September. They're really not talking to each other. They're talking past each other directly to us. But again, I think that benefits the Republican Party and the Republican Party turnout in September and November. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm all wrong. Who knows? 508-996-0500. Open phones, whatever you want to talk about. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. I got two things to points to make with you. And number one, you're absolutely spot on about how primaries build a party, because a primary, all right, that's 7 weeks before the election, and I've been in a couple of primaries.
Yes, you have.
And I've been on the ballot when there wasn't a primary, and during when there wasn't a primary, for months, the media, such as yourself and the print media, the electronic media, TV stations, oh, here's a piece on this candidate, and here's a comment on this contest. And for 7 months, all you hear about is the Democratic candidates. And in the old days of print media, there would be this front page picture with one of them next to the other one and a front page article. And on page 12, there would be another half a page. And in the last paragraph, it would say, the winner will face Republican so-and-so in November.
Yep.
So the Democrats, by having primaries, are in the public eye. They're in the media's eye. And the Republican, they say, we'll get to you eventually.
Right.
And that's why they win, because they're ready. It's like the preseason. They get to test their precinct organizations.
Yep.
They get to test their message. But they're getting their name out. Lastly, Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, and then basically the 24-hour news cycle, the Trump organization said, so you want to say my name 15, 20 times every hour for 24 hours for 4 years? You go right ahead. And that's how he kept himself in the public eye and won the 2024 election over Sleepy Joe. Very quickly, on the California election,
yes,
I'm going to take a different approach to this and how that's being handled. How about, let's make every election, if you have a recount, you notice how they look at every ballot, and they look at every signature, and they look at this, and they decide which ones will count and for whom. Why don't we just do that in the first place? I'm wondering if that's really what is the delay in California, that they're taking the time to make sure that every ballot is counted, not because it's close. I just reject that we only have recounts when it's close, but if every ballot counts, we'll make sure the first time. Get it right. Take as much time as you need. There's no need for urgency in reporting results other than the media wanting to know. So I say take your time counting them, get it right, announce it, and then there won't be any grounds for a recount.
Very interesting. I do appreciate the call, Jimmy. Thank you. Look, primaries benefit all of us, really. Listen, I'm for as much money as possible in elections. Why? Because it's communicating with the voters. Okay? Communication with voters is very important. And it costs a lot of money. Radio costs money, television, print ads, they all cost money now. People are doing digital. It all costs money. And I think the more money, the better in politics, really. And if there's any corruption, indict people, you know, indict people. The reason you don't see a lot is because there really isn't a lot of corruption in politics. There really isn't. There's not as much bribery as you imagine. Most people in politics don't have any interest in taking bribes. Most people in politics know that's a very quick way to get in real trouble, and that whatever you got paid, you won't even cover the cost of your lawyers. I know a lot of us try to imagine it makes us maybe even more interested in politics to imagine that there's a lot of corruption, but in my experience, there's not. There really isn't. And anybody who approaches someone with a scheme to accept a bribe or to demand a bribe, they're not successful at it. Most people, if you say to me, I'll do this, but I need a bribe, I'm going to first of all think you're a joker. I'm going to realize that you don't have much political capital, and that I can just wait you out because you're not going to last that long. I don't know what it was like before, but I know what it's like and has been like for, I don't know, since the mid-90s. I've never seen it. You hear rumors, but they're mostly rumors. Serious people with real power in politics, they don't ask for bribes. They would not accept even this conversation of it. Most people realize that comes with so much trouble. It's not worth it. And once you do something for money, whoever you did it for and the people around them, they own you real cheap, right? They know what you did. And so do you. You know they know you did what you did. So I don't really think there's as much corruption as people on the outside imagine that there is. Now, I know we see people get arrested from time to time, but really, when you think about how many elected people there are, how many appointed people there are, how many decisions are made at the local, state, and national level involving hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, the amount of people that are actually arrested, indicted, and convicted is very small compared to the amount of political transactions that go on all throughout our society. So I know people on the outside like to imagine that there's all this corruption, but I'm here to tell you that it's very rare, and most people who have any longevity in politics avoid that. They avoid it because there is no longevity in being a criminal. There really isn't. What am I doing here? I guess I'm taking a break. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Beautiful day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. I won't be there today, but you can be and enjoy it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. If you're living in Fairhaven, remember today is Election Day. You can vote till 8 o'clock at the Recreation Center right across the parking lot here from me. I guess you got to go through the Stop and Shop parking lot as well over there, right? So go vote. However you're voting, go vote. So yesterday I was watching the city council. I watch it so you don't have to, although I do encourage you to watch it. They're talking about your tax dollars if you live in the... Actually, no matter where you live in the state, money from your pocket is flowing into the city of New Bedford. Brian Gomes was questioning the chief of police, Jason Thode. I met Chief Thode a couple times. He's been in to do an interview here. Sits down, real decent guy. He has no idea what I'm going to ask him. He knows it's going to be within the realm of police work, but he doesn't ask for the questions ahead of time. He just sits there and takes them. He has no idea what you folks are going to ask him when you call in and ask Chief Thode. So I think he's a really open guy, knowledgeable guy. And he was fielding questions from Ian Abreu and Shane Burgo, Brian Gomes. What was particular, and James Roy. This is James Roy's first budget. Thought he asked some really interesting questions last night of Chief Thode. And Chief Thode was, you know, more than happy to answer them. So, Brian Gomes was asking a lot of questions about ShotSpotter. And ShotSpotter, of course, is an automatic system that detects gunfire. It was brought in by former Mayor Lang. And quite frankly, as I understand it, the city simply can't afford it anymore. But Brian Gomes was asking a lot of questions. Brian is the chairman of public safety. He's been there the longest of anybody in the city council. And he lives and breathes public safety, right? He's out there. You hear him. He's out there at night. He's around. He's backing up the cops, things like that. He knows what's going on. And he thinks it's a big loss to get rid of ShotSpotter. And, of course, Chief Thode is following the directives of the mayor. The mayor runs the city in conjunction with the city council, but it is the mayor's budget that they're talking about. And the mayor has come to the determination, and Chief Thode was backing him up by pointing out that when he was the chief in Hartford, they had 200 people shot a year. 200 people shot in a year. And pointing out that New Bedford nowhere near approaches that. And that in Hartford, unlike New Bedford, people would hear gunshots and not call the police. In New Bedford, people do call the police. This is what the mayor has told me. The mayor will be here tomorrow. It's what Chief Thode was telling the city council. And pointing out that they have data on this, that they get a shot spotter, but they also get a bunch of phone calls about those same gunshots. And so in the chief's informed mind, his experienced mind, they can afford to let ShotSpotter go, and that they got other things they're doing, and that the public in New Bedford is very responsive to the sound of gunshots, and they're not afraid to call the police. So that is going to be an ongoing conversation, but I'm glad it got started last night in the city council. And Brian Gomes doesn't always appreciate my brand of journalism, but generally I appreciate what Brian Gomes does in the city of New Bedford. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. If they're going to keep the bars open till 3 a.m., there'll be a whole lot more cocaine, I think, being sold around. And maybe that benefits the staff of Governor Healey. We know that at least one of them was allegedly importing pounds and pounds of cocaine literally into the State House while he had a gun, allegedly. So it's wild, right? It's really wild. I don't know why I keep grinding my teeth, but I do. 508-996-0500. Again, I think this conversation that started last night about ShotSpotter and the fact that the city simply can't afford it anymore. That's what the mayor is telling us. And the chief of police was explaining that maybe, in his opinion, well, he's been other places in law enforcement, that the city of New Bedford, because of the culture, is so positive You don't need it. So, time will only tell, right? Let's see what the phone callers have to say. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Fafios.
Hey, Gilly, what's happening?
Hey, Chris, real quick, did anybody call in about how long Marty Tredup has left on his 6-year term?
No, do you know?
Yes, he was on the ballot. He was on the ballot. So whoever takes over, it's going to be until this election time.
So they're going to get 6 years? You
know, huh?
They'll get almost a full 6-year term.
No. His time is up. He was going to be on this ballot.
Oh, okay.
Retiring, you're saying. So there won't be. Whoever takes over for him is only going to be.